You know the rules. We'll send that to the Inquisition when it's over.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I get so excited when I know I'm on the right track. Amen. That's why I shouted a little bit when you chose the song. If you knew how much I agonized over this message, it started yesterday morning early. I had a message I was all prepared to preach, and God the Holy Ghost said, no, that's not the message. Now, don't you just love that preacher? Say, amen. I've had it happen when I've gotten in the pulpit, amen, and it's scary. But I thank God He knows what He's doing.
Amen.
And so I began to pray. I began to search the Scriptures. I began to read my Bible. In fact, I read about two times what I normally read in a day. And I mean, I'm just praying, oh God, You've got to give me the message. I do not know what the message will be. And God gave me this message. Take your Bible and go to Exodus chapter 32. And I'm going to let you just figure it out when I get down to the text. Amen. But this is what the Lord gave me. Amen. And I prayed. I said, God, I knew Pastor Hayne would be leading the songs. And Lord, if You could just speak to his heart. I don't know if the song's in their hymnal. I've got no idea. But God, if there's some way You could have that song come out before I preach, so I know I'm on track. Amen. Amen. And here we go. Verse 26. I'm going to skip all the preliminary and go right to it. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, what's the next phrase? Who is on the Lord's side? That'll work, Brother Tim. Amen. That'll work. That's the title of the message. Who is on the Lord's side? And let him come unto me, and all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Father, thank You for the privilege, God, it is to be here once again. And Lord, to be in this meeting, Lord, we look forward to it every year. And thank You, Father, that it's here now. And Lord, You're here now. And Lord God, the best we know how, we give ourselves unto You. Ask You, Lord, to fill this vessel, God, to overflowing. And please allow that overflow to speak to each heart. And Lord God, I pray the Holy Ghost would deal with hearts as only He can. And things would come out according to Your will. And God, people would do business with You here today. And whatever needs done in their heart, I pray You'd do it. And I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a little bit of background. Moses had just come down off the mount where he got the Ten Commandments. And that's what everybody knows about. When you talk about Moses in the mount, that's the first thing that comes to everybody's mind is the Ten Commandments. There was more given to him up there than just the Ten Commandments.
Right.
You know, he got the directions for the tabernacle, which is where, amen, the offerings would be dealt with and sin would be taken care of for the nation of Israel. And, amen, he got much more there. In fact, he even got told from God who would just build the thing and who would oversee the thing. And, amen, everything about it. So there was a lot more went on there. So Moses is up there. Now listen, when you're getting all that instruction, even with God, it takes time. Amen. And have you ever noticed God's not in a hurry?
Right.
Amen. Americans are, but God isn't. Amen. So 40 days. Now what happened in 40 days? Man, in 40 days, here's Israel down there, amen, by the fire. I know they're by the fire because that's where they throw all the earrings, amen, to melt the gold to make the calf. Hanging around the fire, amen, and who knows what went on down there. I know as far as what they talked about, I know how they wound up. You know how they wound up from the story, right? There's a noise in the camp, and boy, it's so loud, they can't quite figure it out, you know. And so what happens? Moses comes off the mountain. There they are worshiping a golden calf. Imagine in 40 days. You wouldn't think the people of God would go that far in such a short time, would you? There's a warning. How long did it take, amen, this year for the people of God, I use that term loosely, to go from in church, amen, to not even in church?
Come on.
some states, the governor's never even put anything on, any restrictions on churches. In fact, at the bottom of their executive orders, they put a clause that said churches are exempt. And in those states, do you know how many churches stayed open? In one state, I know of five.
Lord, have mercy.
Wait a minute. I understand. Governor said things. I understand all that. I understand concerns. I'm not putting down anybody that had a concern. But here's the thing. My wife wanted to go to church about halfway through the thing. And so I was going to take her to a neighboring state that was free and had no restrictions. And I called. I couldn't find anybody. So I got on their website. You know what it said? Closed. No restrictions. Closed. Listen. Oh, they had a website. No. No web address to go to, amen, to see it on Zoom or, you know, Facebook Live. None of that. Nothing on the internet. Closed. People had no place to go to hear, to do anything. Let's say, turn on the TV and listen to Joel Osteen. Amen. Here it is. The thing kept going through my mind. Who is on the Lord's side? And I called back here. I talked to Brother Asquith and heard what y'all were doing, man. I want to shout. I want to get him out there with me to show him, amen, what, hey, look at this. Look at this. There's a lot I could say, but I won't. There's a lot I'd like to say, but I won't. I just asked this question. Who's on the Lord's side? You know what the Lord did in this thing? Hey, some good things have come out of this. Have you noticed the stores, most of them are no longer 24/7?
Amen.
Right? I remember when they were that way, amen, for real. Before the 24/7. Most of us do, right? Some of us do. Amen. And a lot of good things have come out of it. You know, people have slowed down a little bit.
That's right.
They've had to spend a little time at home and you know, actually talk to their wives. Amen. And communicate with their children. Imagine what it does for the generation gap when mom and dad can talk to the kids. Amen. But things started opening back up again. And that's when the Lord allowed us to come across. You know how many times I heard this out of preachers' mouths? People who are in perfect health, not old age, nothing to worry about, have not come back to church.
Yeah, that's right.
The question comes out, who's on the Lord's side?
Yes.
We watch by Zoom on the pastor of the church where we teach, the Bible Institute there. He's got some health issues. He's had like seven strokes. He's having seizures. He had one the other day, fell down, got hurt. They're trying to get him into UCLA Medical Center. But and he's only 42 years old. So he had the Zoom meetings. Right? So, you know, you watch the Zoom and you know it has this neat little counter down there. So one Sunday morning, the Lord just nudged me and said, watch the counter. Okay, so I watched the counter. So there were 24 families. And then you could do a thumbnail thing and you could see all who's there. So I did the thumbnail thing and I saw who all was there. I said, okay. The Lord said, mark that. I said, okay, I will. 24 families, right? Evening service came and the Lord said, now I want you to check that counter again. 16 families, Brother Tim. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. You don't have anywhere to go. Grandma's not coming by to visit.
Right.
Uncle Bobby in the hospital. You've got nothing to do but stay at home, turn on the computer or the television. Most folks have smart TV now, and you can turn on the TV and get the smart thing up and bring the thing up on the TV and watch your own pastor preach to you. They weren't there. I did that, Brother Tim. I watched that thing every week for a month. You know what I saw? The same exact thing. Those who were not in the seats on Sunday night were not on the Zoom on Sunday night.
That's right. Yep.
What's that tell you? Who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? Being on the Lord's side, first of all, is a conscious choice by each individual. Everybody's got the same option. Listen, man, when Moses drew the line in the sand and said, who's on the Lord's side? They didn't come over here to me. Hey, listen, everybody that heard his voice had the same chance. Amen. Man, if they saw the Lord's side, amen, yeah, woo, get in, man, hair high and long. And that's the only thing I knew to do when I got in. There was no other choice for me. I had lived in the world long enough to know that there was nothing out there that was going to help me. Everything the world ever offered me only hurt me. Amen. It ruined my family. It made a mess. Amen. And what happened? Man, I got in, and I got in here high and all. I went to church on Sunday morning. Listen, no, I got saved on Saturday night at home with me and the Holy Ghost in the house.
Amen.
And when I got saved, I woke up Sunday morning for the first time in my life. Amen. I wanted to go to church.
Amen.
I went to church. Amen. And I got in, and the whole Sunday, the preacher spent it with me. I was in Goldsboro, North Carolina, and my preacher spent the whole Sunday in church with me. Going through the Bible, he showed me things out of that Bible I knew, man, I was in trouble. Amen. And then, amen, he said, get along about 5 o'clock. He said, brother, listen, we're going to have service here in about an hour. I said, I hate to do this to you right now. He said, but if you don't mind, he said, I've got a service to get ready for. And I said, don't do this again. Oh, I grew up down the road from the Catholic Church. I didn't know there was such a thing as 3 services a week. Are y'all do this again? He said, yeah.
Amen.
We're going to have a service here another hour.
Amen.
I said, you mean I can stay and go to that service? He said, yeah, just help yourself. He said, there's some water out there and some things out there. Go help yourself out there in the fellowship hall. Okay, I will. I went back Sunday night. Man, I didn't have to go back. I was already there. Amen. He said, I'll do you one more. He said, we got a service on Wednesday night. I said, you kidding me? Y'all got this 3 times. Man, this is so good. Preacher, where do I sign up, man? I want to be here. He said, you ain't got to sign up. He said, just come Wednesday night. We open doors about 5:30. He said, you can get any time after that. Man, I was standing tall, man. I was there an hour early. Amen. Get that, an hour early. Most Baptists, today especially, you lucky if you get them there 2 minutes early. Amen. I was there an hour early. Why? Because I wanted to be. I found something so good. Like the preacher said, I want more of it. I want more of it. They had a conscious choice. He said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him personally, come unto me. Amen. Your walk with God, you know what? It depends on you. I've learned that over the years. It don't depend on my preacher.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've moved around a lot in the military and whatnot, different things. I've had some wonderful pastors that have fed me, I mean, steak and potatoes. You can tell, can't you? No, seriously, spiritually speaking, man, I've had some good preachers. And they've taken good care of me, feeding me. But it was my responsibility to take that out of the church house and do something with it out there.
Right.
Amen. Just like the preacher just got through saying, man, though you got a good preacher, we still got a world out there that needs what we got. If you got anything. Amen. It depends on you. Far too many people depend on their pastor for their walk with God.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Well, that was a good sermon, preacher. And walk out, shake his hand, and I'll see you next Sunday, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll see you, you know, Wednesday, whatever. But still, even some will go, usually folks go 3 times a week. Usually they're learning to walk with God. Some folks did because they were scared. They didn't want to miss. Because they knew if they missed, man, they're going to miss something. And finally, over time, the Lord started to grow them, and they got to the point where, hey, they started walking with God, and they figured the thing out. And now they wouldn't miss if you held a gun to their head. Amen.
Amen.
You know, some folks, amen, they don't depend on the pastor, they depend on their spouse.
Come on.
Amen. Amen. Ladies, if you're depending on that sorry, no good husband you got, y'all don't call my husband sorry, no good. I'm a husband. Have been for 45 years. At my best, I'm still a sorry, no good rascal. Amen. If you're dependent on him, amen, for your spirituality, you're in trouble. Because you're dependent on another sinner just like you. Kids, if you're depending on mom and dad, amen, that's good. You need to do that. But you better learn how to walk with God yourself.
Amen. That's right.
You better learn how to do it on your own two feet. Why? Because what you need to know is the God of that book isn't just the God of mom and dad. Mm-hmm. He's not just the God of the preacher. He'll be your God if you'll let him. Amen. It's an individual choice. They had to make the choice. Secondly, I noticed this. If you choose the Lord's side, you won't be in a large crowd.
Amen.
You're not going to be in a large crowd. If you're in a large crowd, chances are it ain't much to do with the Lord.
Come on.
You know where I found large crowds? I went to a Buffalo Bills game one time. 1975, December 19th. Amen. Buffalo had a chance through the wild card, and it was the wild card game, and they played the Minnesota Vikings. O.J. Simpson ran for 200 yards, in fact, 220 yards, and they still lost. Yes. Large crowd. I heard all kinds of noise. There wasn't no God around there. In fact, that was where the referee got bonked in the back of the head with a whiskey bottle. It was actually a gin bottle. A woman in front of me threw it. It wasn't God. Mm-hmm. Amen. You choose the Lord's side, you won't be in a large crowd. Why? Because there's a lot of folks running around there, but then you know as well as I do, they're saying, oh, all in the Lord's name. Wow. But the Lord ain't nowhere around you. Amen. You choose the Lord's side. Look at verse 26 there again, in the second half of that verse. He's already said, now who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. See, Moses made this thing right down to the individual. How many of them come? And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Out of all standing there, only the Levites came to Moses. Man, what's that tell you? Not a big crowd. And how many died? 3,000 men. That doesn't say nothing about the women. 3,000 men. You know why? God held the man accountable for his family. 3,000 men died. They died. I'd rather be in that crowd that stayed alive. I don't know about you. I like living. Especially since I got in this thing. When I got in here, I know there is nothing better than what I've got.
Amen.
Man, the life I'm living right now, you cannot replace. If you give me Bill Gates money, amen, and that fellow out there in Kansas money, amen, and the president's money, you give all of it to me. I say, sorry, you keep it. I got a deal far greater than what you got. And mine goes on forever. I get to walk with Jesus down here, amen, and see him face to face up there.
Amen.
Man, you can't change. You can't beat it. 3,000 died. You know what happened? You made a bad choice. Made the wrong choice. You got a choice, young people, every day of your life. You're going to serve God, or you're going to serve you. See, ultimately, it's you. Well, I might serve the devil. It's you. It's your choice. You're doing what you want to do. You know why I'm doing what I do? You know why I came to Black Creek this year? Because I wanted to.
Amen.
I long to. Amen. You choose the Lord's side, you won't be in a large crowd. That crowd that didn't choose God didn't fare too well. Exodus 32:27. He said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. I mean, brother, they're just, amen, wiping out brethren. They're wiping out friends. I mean, why? At the word of the Lord. God does not play games. This is not a game. Amen. But you watch what man will do every time you give him a chance. He'll go play a game. God's not into games. Amen. God's into reality. God's into seriousness. God, amen, he's in the business of helping people get close to him.
Amen.
He's in the business of helping people find peace in their life.
Right. Come on.
Amen. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. You choose the Lord's side, you're not going to be in a large crowd. You choose the other side, and you'll be sorry you did. Thirdly, it's a matter of consecration. Every person must make. Verse 29. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. And even every man upon his son, upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. I looked up that word consecrate. It means this. To make or declare to be sacred. The preacher talked this morning. Amen. I love it when how things fit together around here. Amen. About how when you get saved, man, holiness moves in. And if there's no holiness in your life, you didn't get what God has.
Right. Amen.
If you can skip church and feel good about it, something's wrong.
That's it.
Amen. If you can, amen, live like hell all week and feel good about it, something's wrong. Amen. You won't do wrong very long before that holiness in you say, No, we ain't doing that no more. I'll never forget, preacher, my father got saved. I got saved, then my father got saved, and he led my grandfather to the Lord after that. We had witnessed to my grandfather. But my father was, he was a drunkard. Every bar in McKean County, Pennsylvania knew our phone number. They would call, say, man, here he is again, we'd have to go get him. Or he'd come driving in with somebody following him. I'm behind him, he'd get there. All kinds of weird things. My father got saved, man, he lit up like, boom, 4th of July fireworks. He put that stuff down, boom. Well, he got into a church, and I warned him. I said, Dad, you watch that fella. He's not a Bible believer. I said, he's going to mess you up. You know, the fella told an NIV. If he'll lie to you from the pulpit, what else are you going to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't 6 months from the day it happened. My dad and another man caught him in the church in a very bad position. It hit my father so hard, a young Christian. You know what people will often do? Because they're bait and haven't been trained, they will go back to what they've always done. So my father went back to the bar. Now this is a bar where he had gone in for a little while and preached for several weeks, even maybe a few months. He would go in and sit in the bar, drink 7-Up, and preach to the patrons. So much so they'd see his car, they would not come in. And the barkeep came and said, you got to do something about this. You can't keep coming in here. He said, why not? He said, because they see your car and they won't come. He said, well, praise God, man. Shut it down. We'll make a church out of it. I mean, that was the same bar. He went back in there and he had two drinks. And he drove out. Well, you hit this morning, man, talking about that chastisement. Woo! He pulled out of that bar. He didn't get out into the road. And a semi hit the car. And 300 feet later, after going for 300 feet, out into the field. The medics had to come and take him out, take him to the hospital. I walked in the hospital room where he was at over in Cowdersport, had my Bible under my arm. I stopped in the doorway. He was sitting up in the bed, you know, and he looked over at me, put his head down, he was ashamed of himself, he was crying. I looked over and I said, Dad, you better thank God. He said, why is that, son? He said, because my Bible, I told him, I said, my Bible says, whom the Lord loved, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Dad, you cannot go back to what you used to be ever again. Or this will happen again. He said,
yeah.
He looked up at me and said, I know that better than anybody now, son. Amen.
Man.
And he never went back.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, man, it's a matter of consecration. It's a decision that's got to be made to be declared sacred. Amen. You, amen, belong to God now if you're saved. You cannot live like the world. You cannot, amen, act like the world. You cannot go those places. You've got to live for God, man. Why? Because holiness dwells in you. Hey, listen, man. They're going to know what happened to you, even if you can't admit it. Look at Peter, perfect example. Standing there by the fire. Yeah, blankety, blankety, blank, blank, you know. I don't know him. Wait a minute. Your speech gives you away, pal. The old English word is, thy speech berateth thee. Amen. You know what? Peter couldn't even cuss right. Amen. Why? Consecration. Holiness. Exodus 28 verse 3. It shows that even your garments will be different. It says there, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him.
When you become God's great unto God, it'll change how you dress. Though it said, they're going to put different garments on you to consecrate it. See, if you make consecration to God, there's going to say, amen, God's going to deal with you.
You're not going to want to look like, man, I still, man, there's times I look down and see what's on my feet. I'm kind of like these boys around here. I can't walk barefoot as much as I used to, but I still like to. When I was a kid, man, I'd go through the hay field and put in hay walking over the stubble barefoot.
Yep. I can't do that no more.
But I got some shoes, man. I call them my blue shoes, you know. They're plastic. I never saw anything like them. I used to see them like that, and they're comfortable. And I wear them things all over. But if I'm going someplace where I'm really going to be, I take them off. I put some boots on. I put some shoes on. Why? Because I don't want them to see me looking like, you know. I want to look presentable to, you know. Amen. And I surely wouldn't wear them to church, amen? I mean, unless my foot was so swollen I couldn't get them in my boots. Amen? Why? Consecration. Leviticus 16:32, and the priest whom he shall anoint and whom he shall he consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead shall make the atonement and shall put on the linen clothes.
Are we not priests unto God? As a saved person?
He says he's going to make, he's going to put on linen clothes. Now, I understand that's a priesthood. I understand it's Old Testament. And I understand we're under grace.
But man, under grace, we got a lot more to answer for.
That's right.
Amen. Kind of quiet. Verse 3 says, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. If you're going to be on the Lord's side, you're going to be consecrated unto him. You know what? So you can serve him.
You know what we can do now, Brother Tim? We can serve you. Before we tried, we couldn't do it.
Man, I went to church. My wife, she tried to drag me to church. She believed in drugs. She drugged me to church. I went to church with her. I looked across that crowd of people. And that's the same people I lived with, worked with during the week. And I said, they ain't no different than me. Coming in this building didn't change them. I'm just going to go wash my car and watch football. And so I did until God saved me. Once God saved me, the first place I wanted to go was the house of God.
Man.
My wife and I were separated. She was in Port Allegheny, Pennsylvania. I was all the way down in Goldsboro, North Carolina. I called her up and I told her I got saved and not a word. Honey, I got saved. I didn't hear a word. I said, did you hear me? Yeah. I got saved. So, you know, she's thinking, I've seen some of these crazy tactics before. I've seen words before. They were cheap. And just out of my heart came, well, when you come back, you'll see I'm not the same man I was when you left. That flipped your switch, man. When I come back, you saw God assure yourself, I'm coming back. Man, my heart sunk. And the Lord gave you the verse that he spoke to my heart with, Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, that shall you receive. The Lord said, she's coming home. There's the proof.
Glory to God.
I said, well, you'll see. She got off the airplane and she told the lady, she said, the thing that got me the most was you start talking about the Lord. You never talked about God before. And then you were so sure. I said, honey, I'm not sure of me, but I'm sure of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, man.
What happens? Man, you get to serve God. What a privilege. What a blessing. What an honor to serve the King of Kings.
Amen.
Amen. To do anything. Man, when I got saved, I just wanted Brother Michael to be a part. Anything I could do. Preacher, is there something I could do? Man, I said, I'm a machinist. I've been a carpenter. My dad raised me in carpentry. I said, man, I can work on cars. I said, whatever you got. He said, whoa, you big old grin, man. You tell a preacher that. Woo, yeah. Man, I become a church maintenance man. I was fixing the choir loft doors, fixing the buses, fixing this, fixing that. Amen. Yeah. And then pretty soon he came to me and said, I think God would have you teach a Sunday school class. I said, I don't even know the Bible. He said, well, here, take this book. So he gave me a little quarterly. Thank God I grew out of that thing. Amen. Now I just use my Bible. But, you know, it grew me along. Before long, man, I had more kids in my Sunday school class than the preacher had in the adult Sunday school class. Amen. They had to take out another room in the church and so I could have enough room to get people in. And all I was doing was teaching and loving on the kids, man. What happened? Hey, man, I got to serve God. What a blessing. Exodus 28:41, thou shalt put them upon Aaron, said, thou shalt anoint them, sanctify them, that they may minister unto me.
What we're doing, man, we're not doing it for us. We're not doing it so Black Creek can look around and say, whoa, look at them. No, man, we came because God, amen, did something in our hearts. That anointing, it goes with it. He said, thou shalt anoint them. It'll change you. When you consecrate yourself to the Lord, you'll be a curiosity to those who are not consecrated. You'll be a curiosity. Exodus 29:33 says this, and they shall eat those things wherewith the atonement was made, to consecrate, to sanctify them, but a stranger shall not eat thereof, because they're holy. Now, what happened? You see, you use that stranger. I know that stranger was. I know who it was. It was Gentiles back then. I understand that. But, don't you know them strangers thought something weird about them Jews? And I'll tell you something. You live for God, and the world's going to look at you a little different. I remember in my day, preacher, if you were to walk in the house in my day when I was a boy, you would have gotten the utmost respect, even though my dad was drunkard. And my grandfather, by the way, was known by many as the meanest man in King County. And you won him to Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. And boy, I'm telling you, things changed. And what a blessing. But I'm telling you, man, they're looking at it and going, what is it about you? Yeah, everybody looks at you and say, what is it about you? Let me tell you what it is. It's Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Consecration to the Lord brings the greatest blessings in life. Exodus 32:29. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son, upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Man, you start living, and that holiness starts working its way in you and out of you and through you, man. People see that thing. They're drawn to Christ. Amen. And you get the blessing of watching God work in somebody else's life. Yeah. You know what the greatest thrill for me is, the greatest thrill for these other preachers, is to see God in you. And to see God flow through you.
Amen.
Man, what a thrill. You see how Brother Askew starts talking about families here? And how little, you can even catch, every now and then if you look real close, you can catch them tears starting to well up right in here.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's just a thrill to his soul to know what God's done for you.
Amen.
Amen. God brought him here, and his work and his labor has not been in vain. God's done a marvelous thing. Hey, listen, man, that's what God wants to do with you. The same thing. God wants to use you in a marvelous way, amen, to affect somebody else for the good of Jesus Christ and for their soul to be saved. Consecration brings the greatest blessings in life. To choose to be on God's side, one must be continually consecrated. It's not just, notice he said, this day.
You can say it's going to be forever.
As long as you live in this thing, you're going to have a fight on your hands. You read Romans 6, man, Romans 7, Romans 8, you'll see in there, man, Paul had a great fight. Mm-hmm. Amen. A man wrote more of the New Testament than anybody. Amen. He had a great fight with his flesh. And so are you going to have. That's why every day, man, it takes consecration. The Bible says, and you've heard me say it before, Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
That's right.
It takes consecration daily. Mm-hmm. Paul said this, I die daily. It takes us giving ourselves continually. Numbers 6, chapter 6, verse 12, the first half of that verse says, and he shall consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation. 1 Chronicles 29:5, second half of it says, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? It takes every morning we get up. Oh God, here I am again. I need you, Lord. This flesh is going to try to lead me astray today. God, if you don't do something, I'm going to blow things all to pieces here. I'm going to make such a mess it ain't going to be good, Lord. Please, God, help. Fill me, use me, God, the best I know how. Here I am. Amen. Lord, I'm sorry, God, that for the things that come out of my heart. I'm sorry for the thoughts that come out of my mind. Oh, God, all I can do is plead the blood, ask you to forgive me, ask you to take me, ask you, God, to fill me and use me. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Lastly, I only got another hour and I'll be through. No, I'm kidding. It's a relationship. To be on the Lord's side is to have a relationship. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Verse 5. 1 Corinthians 1, 5. That in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, there's those blessings, even the as the testimony of Jesus Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
It's a fellowship. It's a relationship.
Take your Bible, go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. First John 1, look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It's a fellowship. Being on the Lord's side is a fellowship.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's really great about this week? Preachers get to see other preachers.
Amen.
Christians get to see other Christians. Mm-hmm. People get to fellowship.
Right.
And man, it's good, because you know what happens when we fellowship? That book says in Proverbs 17:17, I believe it is, iron sharpens iron. We sharpen each other. Amen?
Yeah.
Listen, before I leave and go to other parts, there'll be a day when my wife, myself, Brother Asquith, and Miss Ruth Ann sat down at the Friendlies. And you know what we always do? We fellowship. You know what happens? Every time I sit down and talk to him, you know what I wind up doing? Taking notes. Why? Because I know I'm going to use it. Somewhere down the road, that thing's going to come back. God's going to let me use it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I do that a lot. If you see me take out a notepad and write, amen.
Amen.
Number one, see these white hairs? Something happens, man. Forgetfulness comes with them.
Amen. And so I write something down. Why? So I can remember and check it up later.
Amen. Why? Because I want to use it. I want to be, amen, I want my life to count for my God.
Amen.
I want people to be able to look at me and see me on the street and know, man, there's something about him. I want to know, man, there's a difference when you walk with God.
Amen.
Say, preacher, did you do that 100% of the time?
No, I'm just like you. I got this wicked flesh too. I've constantly got to die to me.
Amen. There's times I've got to go and apologize to people. I mean, I'm flesh. And my flesh gets in the way too.
I'll tell you what, I can't tell you the time. I wish this happened all the time. Many, 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 many times. Somebody has walked up to me and said, sir, are you saved?
Mm-hmm.
I've had women, man, in the wall. I had a lady walk up to me in a Walmart. I mean, I just been helping a brother, amen. And I had sawdust all over me. I was wearing bib overalls, a t-shirt, and a ball cap.
Mm-hmm.
She walked up to me and she said, "Are you a preacher?"
Yeah.
I'm thinking, how in the world did you get preached out of this?
Yeah.
I want to take the hat off, see if somebody put a sticky note on that and said, "Preacher, you know."
Yeah.
Are you a preacher? And I said, "Well, yes, ma'am, I am. But I said, more than importantly, I'm saved. I'm a child of God." She said, "I knew you were a preacher. I've got a real problem. Would you pray with me?"
Hey.
We knelt. Now, they say, "Oh, you can't do that." Too late. We already did. We knelt right there where the main, when you go into Walmart and you go through them little gates now, that next crossroad there, right there, we knelt.
Yeah.
And we prayed for this dear lady. And she went away rejoicing. And crying. And when she got up, she said, "I knew you were a preacher." I said, "Ma'am, I'm in work clothes. How did you know I was a preacher?" She said, "You just look like a preacher."
Yeah.
You know what she saw? Ma'am, she didn't see the table. She saw there was something about the table. She saw God. Somehow. I want that to be all the time.
Oh my, I want to help people. I want to help people get closer to my God. Why? Because the best place you can be is close to Him. Man, He'll feed you. He'll take care of you. Amen. He'll, oh my soul, He'll defend you. I mean, He'll do things for you you never dreamed He'd do for you. I want people to know my God. Who's on the Lord's side? Amen. Father, the best I know how, I did what You told me to do this morning. I pray it's been a help and a blessing. I pray You please use it to speak to hearts. Draw folks closer to You, Lord. Help us, God, to start this meeting off right, getting everything out and getting it all on the Lord's side. Bless Your people, I pray. Speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Taylor. Good start for the meetings. Page 394. 394. And we're going to sing the song, All for Jesus, All for Jesus. 394. Stand to sing, please.
And words and doings.